Well, Alec, we're going to reflect on the rugby season, and in particular from the Northwest perspective. Let's start off with the All-Ireland League and a bit of a mixed bag. A dreadful season for City of Derry, a very good one for Uma, and Rainey also can be well pleased as they reflect on the year.
Yeah, well, I think you have to start with Uma, really, Chris. I mean, they got promotion last year to Division 2C and had a really tremendous season, especially winning five games away from home. And then, of course, the game which I watched up when where they beat Bruff got them into second position, so that gave them a playoff, and they defeated Thomond in that playoff, 33-12. The next stop was up at Harlequins in Belfast against what was a very experienced side who had been relegated for a couple of seasons. And certainly, you know, the 26-20 result, Uma will probably have been very delighted with it. There was a yellow card, which a controversial one, to put it that way, which leaked two tries to Harlequins, and that really took them away, although Uma came back strongly. But, you know, talking to the coach afterwards and all, I mean, and the players, I mean, they are really geared up for next year. The coach did say to me that, you know, they were a bit of a surprise packet, so he knows that next year people will know what to expect. Sometimes that can happen. But when you also in that particular league, in Division 2B, City of Derry really had, I think it would be fair to say, Chris, a horrendous season. I mean, they had 1 point from 18 games. I mean, they leaked something like an average of 65 points a game on the season overall. And really, from the word go, they did get a victory against Harlequins, but then that was cancelled out whenever they couldn't field a side against Dungannon. So they were struggling. At Christmas time, there was no way that they were going to get anywhere, and they were relegated. And next year, they put in a new coach, Paul O'Kane, who's had experience at Limavady and Strabane. Apparently, he's recruited some players, but, you know, it's going to be a very, very difficult season for City of Derry, because having seen four or five of the Uma games and seen the standard of the clubs in Division 2C, it might not all be all running rugby, but physically, it is very strong. If you don't have a set pieces, if you don't have your line-out and your scrum, you're going to be in real bother. So a lot of building blocks have to be put in place at Judges Road. And certainly at least three or four experienced players in key positions will have to be recruited. It's not always easy, but that is the situation. From Rainey's point of view, they were very, very unlucky. They finished second in that same division as City of Derry. And they, unfortunately, they got through the playoff as well against the third place team. And then in the game to give them promotion up to Division 2A, Greystone's got a converted try in the last minute to defeat them. But nevertheless, having just been promoted the year before, I think Rainey are in a position to really build on that one. But, you know, you have to say, Uma had a great season, as did Rainey. But City of Derry, just a bad, bad season, Chris. And they've got to get it out of their system very, very quickly, or things could get worse.
Well, looking at the Ulster club action then, Strabane, Letterkenny, Limavady, Coleraine and Inishowen, again, a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, well, Rugby Championship 1, Coleraine, they finished in mid-table, as did Limavady in Rugby Championship 2. Both had similar seasons, Chris, in a sense. Up to Christmas, they were both in the bottom two or bottom three of those leagues. But from the turnaround in 2018, they had tremendous results. And they got themselves in the mid-table positions. Limavady fifth, and I think Coleraine were sixth. But, you know, having seen the table just at the end of December 2017, you wouldn't have thought they'd have got there. So they will hopefully build on that one and for next season. In Rugby Championship 3, Strabane certainly were the team that excelled very well. They finished third, winning 15 of their 22 games. And that, I mean, they were very unlucky to lose in the Gordon West as well against Lurgan. Who went on to win the league and that Gordon West Cup. In the same Rugby Championship 3, Monaghan finished 4th, Virginia 5th and Cavan 6th. Letterkenny had a very disappointing season. They actually beat Lurgan. They're the only side to beat Lurgan this year. And they also had a very, very good result against Strabane. But other games just disappointed badly. And, I mean, they only won 6 of their games. And I think they'll be looking forward to next year to try and see if they can get more results. Donegal Town, unfortunately, called off a few games and they were relegated. They now will be playing in junior rugby next year. And in Rugby Regional West, Inishowen, they finished second, winning six of their seven games. And they don't have a lot of games in that particular league, but they did very well in the games they had to. Difficult for the Carindona club to keep players interested, Chris, as you know, whenever you're only playing such a small number of games throughout the season. But they did very well. And Ballyshannon, they in that league, they finished fourth. So generally speaking, it's been a very much up and down season, and a lot of performances probably to be improved for next season.
Yeah, and Finn Valley as well, they've come on as well. I suppose getting the numbers in is part of the battle.
Sorry, I have to have those notes down, Chris, and at the window. Yeah, Finn Valley have developed very, very well. Some very, very good results again. And certainly, you know, it's great to see that they've been able to keep the club going, because, I mean, they only entered it about, seven years ago, and they've managed to keep their numbers going. And it can't be easy again when you're not playing a terrible amount of games to have your players interested. But good to see that they have got that enthusiasm going, and hopefully maybe next year it'll get a wee bit better.
Well, moving on to the provincial level, Ulster casting an envious eye, I suppose, at Leinster and Munster.
Yeah, horrendous season, Chris, for Ulster this season, both on and off the field. I mean, everything's been well tabulated, so there's no need to go into it. And I mean, I was up last Sunday during the game for Highland, and the second half performance against the Ospreys was probably as good a 30-40 minutes as they've had. But then you read that, you know, that Luke Marshall and Louis Ludic, they could well be out for next season. Tom O'Toole, who had such a promising performance in the front row, he's had a cry off the under-20 competition. And while I mentioned that under-20 Junior World Cup, I would like to let your listeners know they probably do at this stage, Chris. I think it starts next Wednesday, and Joe Dunleavy is very much to the fore in the Ireland under-20 setup. So it'd be great to see Joe and watch him play. And I watched him in the under-20s games that he played in the Six Nations. And he, considering he's another year at that level, I mean, he has really flourished since going to Malone and getting into the Ulster Academy. So we would wish him all the very best.
And speaking of underage players making an impact at the Ulster Rugby Awards, young Conor McMenamin getting an award there at youth level and having represented his country. So there's definitely guys coming through.
There is. I mean, I'm led to believe that young Conor might be moving to another club. I don't know at the moment. I haven't heard anything, but I imagine that possibly, depending on his age, he may do what Joe Dunleavy did, wait until he was 18, because Joe Dunleavy that season, the season before when he came to City there in December, I mean, I wouldn't say single-handed, but he had a major bearing on City of Derry staying up in that league. And I met him at one of the games, Ulster games, and asking how he was getting on. And he was a big guy, Chris, when I met him as a 16-year-old. But if you see him now, he's not someone you'd argue with too much.
And looking ahead then for Ulster, I mean, can you see them turning the corner?
Well, I mean, the out-half position is one that they're going to have to solve. I see that we're looking to get Elton Yankees, but I don't think that the IRFU were too keen on that thing. They've got to sign some players. I mean, with the amount of players that have retired this year, and as I say, with those injuries, which, you know, I came across what a very, very good victory last week, they're going to have to improve very, very much. The fact that they don't have so many people in the Ireland squad means that they probably can have more of a settled team. But like Rob Hearn now and John Cooney, and I'm delighted to see that John Cooney has made the international setup, because for me, he's the second best scrum half in Ireland by a mile, and his performances for us this year were absolutely superb. And even last Sunday, you know, when he came off the crowd, he's become a big, big favourite there. In a sense, you know, to fill the boots of Ruan Pienaar and to do what he's done has been absolutely tremendous. But, you know, there's a big game as well, Chris, taking place in another 3/4 hour, even 30 minutes, whenever the Scarlets and Munster. And if both those sides can produce the rugby they're capable of, it could be an absolute cracker of a game, and that one. And, you know, I suppose, I think we were supposed to talk as well about the Ireland tour to
South Africa.
Australia.
Australia.
It's very interesting, Chris. I mean, you listen, you see the scribes and you see people on the television and all saying, maybe not take it, maybe he'll give some boys a rest and all the rest of it. You look at the 32 players that Joe Smith has taken to Australia, okay, there's a Sean O'Brien who are injured and possibly may never play again. We don't know. But you look at the 32 players he's picked that go to Australia. He is determined to keep the momentum going towards the World Cup, to keep Ireland in that number two position, because everybody's going. Johnny Sexton et al, as they say, and everybody that's going out now to Australia, the competition's going to get stronger and stronger prior to the World Cup. And I would imagine that today, when he's sitting at the watching this final between the Scarlets and Leinster, he will certainly have his hands crossed in the sense that he doesn't want any injuries, because that's the last thing you need now going on a major tour, because this day fortnight, Ireland will be playing the first test against Australia.
Just one other thing, Alec, before we wind things up. The flow of players coming through from schools to clubs, at schools level, still relatively few numbers in the Northwest.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Chris, and that has been a problem. There are development officers in the Northwest who are coming down from the Ulster branch. But, I mean, my own school, Foyle College, that I went to, and I can remember at the time we had six sides playing, you know, from first, second, third, under level down. I'm led to believe that, I mean, even last season they were struggling to put out a medallion, which is the under 15 and the third 15, and other schools as well. Even the big schools in Belfast and around are still struggling, you know. So that's one of the things that I think it's going to have to be looked at strongly. That the fact, of course, that no longer would teachers in schools be automatically coaching the sides, and that's one of the things. A lot of the schools, like Methody Inst and the big schools, they would bring people in, like Neil Doak came into Campbell College, for instance. But I mean, you do need that particular personal touch. And, you know, when I think back to my days at school, I mean, rugby and cricket, I mean, you just couldn't wait to get out every Saturday to play. The problem is, Chris, as we all know, there's so many other things now for young people to do, and it's very difficult to get them interested.